Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. Yehuda, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining. I think it's been quite a while since we've done just a Me or You podcast. Most of the time it's just me and Meisty when we do the tour. So this is good. I think actually the last time we did a podcast just me and you was our division predictions prior to last year.
We got a tradition going.
Yeah, we got a tradition going. Preseason podcast a little more consistent. But so anyway, today we're discussing the NFC East. Division winners. Again, every team has a certain amount of projected win totals according to Vegas prior to the year. And we're here to project against the win totals. We've been doing this for a few years already now. It's been our custom. It's been really fun to look back and see which predictions we got correct and which predictions we were incorrect on. And we started with the AFC East last time, so the NFC East we'll continue with today. Let's do it. NFC East, baby. It's going to be great. Let's hit it off with this time. I'm prepared. I have the win totals with me, and this team we're going to kick off with. You know, it's a shame our producer's not here. Has the highest projected win total. Right, you know where I'm going with the not highest exactly. projected win total in the entire NFL at 11.5, and that goes to the defending NFC champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. A high number, Yehuda. What do you think about that? 11.5.
11.5. That's crazy that they have more than the Chiefs, more than the actual Super Bowl champions.
That is remarkable. It's a great point.
That is very interesting.
They're in the NFC. They're in a division that seemingly only really has one other great team in the division. You know, even though every team in that division won at least 8 games last year. People forget that, by the way. It wasn't too long ago where the NFC East was the laughing stock of the NFL. Yeah, and last year, every team in that division was competitive and was in playoff contention until week 16 or week 17 even. So obviously it's a competitive division, but you're in the NFC. It's not nearly as competitive as the AFC. And it's really a bunch of mediocre rosters when you get outside the Eagles and the Cowboys. So
exactly. Yeah, and a lot of people have been saying that, and that is pretty much what I would say as well. 11.5 is a huge number, but like realistically, what other teams are there in the NFC besides for the Eagles and Niners, right? There's back-to-back. Those teams are consistently in the Niners, at least, or in the championship game, and the Eagles are consistently just such an incredible roster. Like you said, Howie Roseman just built such an amazing team, and they really had a real shot to win last year, if not for some questionable throws by Jalen Hurts at the end there.
But I mean, fumble,
right? Exactly. Some questionable plays here and there, but he played amazingly, and that the defense may be better. The people say without Jonathan Gannon now coaching the Cardinals, because they seem to even though they only lost like 2 or 3 games. They seem to say that he was holding them back, even though their defense almost broke the record for sacks all time. But, you know, maybe he wasn't able to adjust, which was an issue because they got kind of cooked in the Super Bowl. But that's the standard that they're on, though, because they're making the Super Bowl. They're this close to winning the Super Bowl. So the Eagles fans expect a lot, and they should. Like, their roster is incredible. Howie Roseman, again, just stealing Georgia players, building Georgia football NFL level, you know, NFL Georgia.
It's like Ozzie Newsome used to be with Alabama, right? Similar concept.
Exactly. Just building NFL Georgia, building up that defense, you played for Georgia on defense, you're on our team now. And I mean, it works. Like Jordan Davis, the D lineman who they just selected, who, you know, fell to them because the issues that he was facing in his offseason. Forget his name right now. They got Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle, and then they got Nolan Smith, the linebacker. Like it's ridiculous the roster they have. So I would say over 11.5 because they should win 12 to 13 games because like you were saying, Rocky, when it was a really good point. They should have higher than the higher win total projection than the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are AFC is just so much harder. And like obviously the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and they're on the best, they're the best level, but they still play more competitive teams than the Eagles will. And the Eagles also get like Arizona, Tampa Bay here, like teams, Minnesota, teams that I believe they will probably, that will fall off from last year and will regress, like Tampa Bay without Brady. Minnesota just regressing to the mean because they won too many one score games last year. So the Eagles should be able to find a way to win 12 or 13 games, and pretty handily, I would say as well. And we should expect them at least, right? If they don't even make, if it seems like divisional round is the floor for them, right? If they don't make it out of the wild card round, like that's a failure. Like it seems like we're expecting them to just be in the divisional or championship round at this point because of how weak the NFC, or at least the perception of how weak the NFC is right now.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. I obviously think the Eagles are going to go over 11 and a half. I'm generally hesitant to project a team that was extremely successful one year, came out of nowhere almost. They were average to slightly below, above average prior to last year, and then project them to win a lot of games again the next year. I'm generally hesitant to do so unless you have a great quarterback like Mahomes or Allen. But the Eagles roster is just simply too good. They somehow brought back Bradbury and Darius Slay. How the heck did they pull that off? That made no sense. I mean, we talked about this before the offseason. We're like, they're going to have to let go of one of them, maybe two. And somehow they worked out the contracts that they worked out both while extending Jalen Hurts and giving him that huge contract, which, albeit, might come back to bite them at some point in the future. But if you're looking at the immediate here and now, I certainly have to agree. Top five defense in football. Plenty of playmakers for Jalen Hurts to go around. Even if Jalen Hurts regresses, which can certainly happen, that happens after breakout years. Even if he's the 10th best quarterback in the league instead of the 5th best quarterback in the league, they should win 12 games. Completely agreed. Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys. 9.5. So the Dallas Cowboys win total is 9.5. And it's a tough one. Vegas knows what they're doing. I'll tell you straight up. I think the Cowboys are going over 9.5. I picked the win total over last year. I was watching our last year's projections for the NFC East, and I projected. I think I got almost all of them right. I picked the Eagles to win the division. It wasn't a crazy thing at the time. People were still, the Cowboys were still the favorites before the year, but it was like flip flopping back and forth. Listen, at the end of the day, you bring in Brandon Cooks to add to that receiving core. You have CeeDee Lamb. You have a Michael Gallup. You obviously have a lot of playmakers. That's what you need with Dak Prescott. He's sort of that quarterback that's he's always going to be in that 8 to 10 range his entire career. That's just the trajectory that he's looking to go toward. And you bring playmakers in, you can win games with him. It's very simple. He's a quarterback you can win games with if you have playmakers around him. They have a great defense, or it's good enough. They have great playmakers. Offensive line is great. Just a great overall roster. I have a hard time seeing this team not winning double-digit games, especially considering you really don't have a great division there. You have the Eagles, and that's it. So even if you lose two games to the Eagles, which they could certainly split the season series with them, even if you lose two games to the Eagles, you have plenty of other winnable games on the calendar. So I'm looking at the Cowboys go over 9.5.
So 9.5, that is a really good number. Are they going to get to double digits or not?
Exactly.
Looking at their schedule right now, and I see a really tough stretch in October. They have at San Francisco, at LA, and then by versus LA, and then at Philly. So I think like LA Chargers and then the Rams with a bye week sandwich in between. to have 3 out of 4 games with a bye week. Away at really tough opponents in SoFi and at San Francisco and at Philly. Like, I probably see them losing. I mean, both Philly games are primetime games. I probably see them losing both Philly games. Then they still have to play Buffalo and Detroit, Miami. I don't know. I think I'm going to take the under. I'm going to go 9 wins. Nine
Ooh,
always.
really?
They're still going to make the playoffs, but I do really like Detroit this year. I mean, we'll get to that. But that Detroit Cowboys game is the second, the is week 17, second to last week of the season, and that's going to be a huge game for playoff seeding, I think. Expecting the Detroit to either be in the running for the division, or they're both going to be wild card teams, Detroit and Dallas. And Dallas, like, I mean, Zeke, that they lost Zeke. That's not a huge loss for them because Tony Pollard is their main guy anyway, but he just destroyed his ankle, destroyed his leg, and now he's on bad terms with them because the franchise, he's playing on the franchise tag, did not appreciate that. Their defense, I will see some regression because they were just ferocious last year, and I believe there will be some regression to the you know, instead of being like a top three, top five defense, maybe top seven, top eight defense, and that could cost some games because, like you said, Dak Prescott is a top 8 to 10 quarterback.
Exactly,
he's above average. He's good. He's solid. He's not a game manager. He's a little better, but you know, when you're put in a position to win games, like we saw last year, the defense kept it close for them against the Niners. He could not put them in a position to win that game. Like, the Niners have their number. The Niners will probably beat them. I think the Niners will beat them this year. It's going to be in San Francisco. And those games like that, we need to see Dak Prescott step up and really make us believe in him as a quarterback until, you know, for us to be able to say, like, okay, this is a team that can go far with Dak at quarterback. And they're going to make the playoffs because the NFC is so bad. But they're definitely not winning division. I think that we will see Eagles repeat, which is actually very rare in the NFC.
Good.
But NFC East, because they had like 18 straight or 19 straight new division winners. Like, everyone just kept flip-flopping.
Oh, that's an interesting stat. I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah, something like that. I think the Eagles won last year. Eagles won division last year. And I'm not sure if the Eagles or the Cowboys won the year before. So either the streak is dead or it's still going. It's like 19 years straight where a new team won the NFC East, which is awesome.
The Cowboys 2 years ago. The Eagles wild card game against the – oh, no, wait a second. The Eagles won the division, right? Didn't they play against the Bucks in the first round?
Yeah, the Eagles were not the division winner, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's like 19 years straight or something crazy like that, that a new team has won the division, like a different team, but – that ends this year. The Eagles are winning the division. And you can book that. I think they're going to go over there. They're going to go over their win total. But, you know, Morty, our producer, would be, you know, he'd be loving this. But book it. Eagles are winning the division. But Cowboys will win 9 games. They could win 10, but I see them going under 9.5. And you know, probably getting bounced in the wild card or divisional round as they usually do. But... we need to really see prove it from Dak this year, and I think Jerry just, like, they're treading water with the receiver. Like, they got Brandon Cooks, but like, who's their option after CeeDee Lamb? Like, who are their playmakers? They got Micah Parsons. They have playmakers here and there. Like, they have studs. You know, CeeDee's a stud, Micah's a stud, but like, I don't know. It seems like a team that will regress a little bit, and they get so much hype every year, and I think Vegas loves to capitalize on that. The Cowboys fans that will consistently bet them to, you know, this is our year, they're going to win the Super Bowl every year, and then they never even make the championship game.
Although 9.5 is not a huge hype. It's interesting.
No, that's not a huge hype. Right. That's true, but that's why I think I'm going to take even lower. I'm going to take the 9.
Okay, I'm a little surprised about that one. So we'll see about the next one. The next one is the New York Football Giants coming in at 7.5. A tough number also because, you know, there's a couple different factors when you look at the Giants. Well, you know, they won 9 games last year. Great. But we all knew that was an anomaly, right? You had Daniel Jones had a breakout year, 17th-ranked quarterback in the league, according to PFF. And last year was his breakout year. He earned his big $160 million payday from being the 17th-ranked quarterback in the league. He utilized his legs on third down. He made a couple throws here and there late in the game. They won a lot of close games. That's really what it was with the Giants last year, right? It was a mediocre roster coming together, you know, closing out games, some great comebacks in there, and they got lucky a little bit. Luck is a part of football.
Incredible coaching. Like, Dable just squeezed everything he could out of them.
Absolutely, and that's a factor as well. And that's a part of luck, meaning if you're just relying on coaching and getting the guys together for game day and, you know, coming up with a couple clutch plays here and there, it's not sustainable. That's the problem. So I'm actually going to go under. I think the Giants are going to get under 7.5. I'm not liking a repeat of what they did last year. I don't like Daniel Jones very much. I don't like the fact that they invested a lot of money into him. He's an average to below average quarterback. That's really what he is. I got a lot of hate for saying that on I put out a YouTube short a while ago, and I got a lot of hate for saying that. But that's what he is. He you know, his breakout year last year, like I said, 17th ranked quarterback in league quarterback. All of his numbers are pedestrian, very, very pedestrian. He can utilize his legs when he needs to. He's an effective scrambler. He can make a couple throws, but he's really not, you know, over the top at anything. He doesn't have a big time arm. His accuracy is inconsistent. You know, he's not fast enough where he's Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray type of weapon. Not even close to that. He's not even a Patrick Mahomes type of rushing weapon. He doesn't run as effectively as Patrick Mahomes either. He's a very effective runner at times. Don't get me wrong, but you know, he's an efficient runner, but not efficient enough where you can make up for the lack of talent from a pocket passing perspective with that rushing ability. So therefore, I'm going under 7.5.
7.5 is a really interesting number, because like we said, they know what they're doing. 7.5 still allows for a team to hit that 8 and still have a losing record, which is exactly where I see these Giants. They were 9-7-1. Yeah, 9-7-1. They had that tie with the Commanders. Right. And so to project them at 8-9 is regression, and expecting them to, because they didn't do much in the offseason to make any wild moves, or they added Darren Waller, so like that is another pass catcher for Daniel Jones, which is good. But like you said, he is Daniel Jones. He is an effective runner when he needs to be, but he's a below average passer, I think. And he's just like, he's an average player who happened to be playing, you know, he stepped it up in 1 year with Brian Daboll, because it was his contract year and he was looking to get paid, and you know, it worked for him, but I don't think Giants fans are going to appreciate it. I don't know if it's going to pay off in the long run.
Agreed.
For Giants fans, because like, can you really see, I mean, obviously every team can't win the Super Bowl, like, and I shouldn't, I'm guilty of this, that it's like, can you win a Super Bowl? Right? Like that's not how football works. Cause only one team wins the Super Bowl every year, but I'm going to do it. Can you really see Daniel Jones winning a Super Bowl? Like, come on. Like, is this the guy that you want to have long term? Like, he's going to be, you need like everything perfect around you, and everything is not perfect, as Rocky and I will discuss, right? Little tease for a future podcast we're going to have. Saquon Barkley is unhappy, and all the players are behind him. All the running backs are behind him. Running backs are not getting paid what they believe they deserve, and that is a big issue going into camp. And some serious issues that's going over. He an hour ago, right, as of this recording, seeing an article that says he might not sit out. He might sit out this season. He might not play this season, which because he's currently under the franchise tag.
I doubt that, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that at a different time. But
exactly. I mean, we saw how that worked out for Le'Veon.
Exactly.
And it didn't. So I don't know if he's going to do that. But all is not well in Giants camp. Just like with the Cowboys with Tony Pollard, but that's a little different of a situation because Tony Pollard literally just destroyed his leg, you know, in February a few months ago, versus Saquon who tore his ACL and stuff like a couple of years ago. So he's still coming, right? He had a very solid season last year, and I would say was the engine of the offense to make Daniel Jones look acceptable to a little above average. Saquon was able to really grind down the team. Like he had 30 carries some games. Like he was a workhorse. So to have a defense that is pretty average, and I think DVOA had them way below average. They were about, I'd say, I think 28th, if memory serves correctly. 29th. Yeah, they were 29th.
I remember throughout the course last year you kept on mentioning how low the DVOA was, which is why I mentioned the word anomaly for a team that rated that low in so many statistics to win that many games. It just doesn't happen very often. You got to win a lot of close games for that to happen.
Right. So to hear me say all this, you think I'm going to go under 7.5, but I'm actually taking the over because I think that you could win 8 games with this team. And like Brian Daboll is still a really good coach, but it's still technically regression from last year because they had 9 wins last year. So I think they'll get the over, but I don't predict anything, you know, necessarily good long-term happening for them or playoffs. But I do think they will get to that eight win territory, right? An average football team, right? And a little below average now with the 17th game.
Okay, so the Washington Commanders come in at 6.5, quite a low number for the Commanders. Last year, their number was 8. I would argue that they got maybe slightly better. Chase Young's going to be healthy out of the gate this year. Well, healthy is debatable, but he's certainly going to be playing out of the gate this year. They added Emmanuel Forbes to the secondary, a secondary that needed help. So obviously, I think the Commanders are going to be slightly better this year. Now you have the question at quarterback, but you had that last year as well. So, you know, you're going to have to rely on fifth rounder Sam Howell. I think you break it down like this with the Commanders, right? The defense is good. Front seven's one of the best in football. You add Emmanuel Forbes to the secondary. I think it'll be serviceable. I think you'll have a top 10 defense in football. You have playmakers on the offensive side. The question, and the offensive line is good. It's a very good offensive line. The question is the quarterback, which is the most important position on the field. You don't know how Sam Howell's going to fare. You just don't. Fifth round quarterback, it's a huge question mark. But, you know, 6.5, I'm liking the Commanders to go over, man, because I think overall they have a good roster. I like their roster better than the Giants. I really do. And worst comes to worst, you have the best backup quarterback in football in Jacoby Brissett, who, you know, led the Browns to a winning record when he was on the field last year. Looked better than Deshaun Watson last year when he was on the field. Now Watson was rusty. I'm not trying to compare the two. My point is that when you need a player to fill in, you know, for 6 or 7 games, if all hell breaks loose with the starting quarterback, when you need a player to fill in, Jacoby Brissett's your guy. He's proven that throughout his career. He can be serviceable. He can win you enough games. Yeah, I'm looking at the Commanders to have 7 wins this year. No question. With that roster, Jacoby Brissett as a backup quarterback in case things go south with Sam Howell, over 6.5 for the Commanders, which is a part of the reason why I'm going under for the Giants, because I think one of these teams will, you know, have a low win total. Last year, we had every team in that division. No team had a losing record. The Commanders were 8-8-1. So not a single team in that division have a losing record. I think that's going to change this year. The Giants will have a losing record. Commanders, we'll see about that, but I certainly think they'll go over 6.5.
The Commanders hopefully are on the upswing with the sale. You know, the getting rid of the worst owner in sports who has significantly dragged his team down. And I think all Commanders fans will be singing their praises and crying tears of joy when Josh Harris buys the team and they get rid of Duty Snyder, Daniel Snyder, and
then they get rid of it.
Yeah, I just came up with that.
Yeah, on the spot, not bad.
Yeah, on the spot, whatever. You know, it's improvisational.
Literally, but, I mean, we don't plan anything. Everything's improv over here.
But they're still not going to be a great team. They've just been swimming in quarterback. You know, it's not quarterback hell. It's more like quarterback just, you know, treading water. I don't even know how to say
quarterback mediocrity.
Quarterback mediocrity. Swimming quarterback mediocrity. Brissett is such a he's that guy you have when you're swimming in quarterback mediocrity.
It's like, so true.
He's not good enough to elevate your team, but he's just good enough to be like a solid, reliable-ish starter. And he's not going to make like a bunch of plays, but he'll make a couple plays here and there if you can keep it close with a solid defense.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at these teams like they'll probably split with New York, the Commanders. I think New York is better than them, even though the Commanders do have a solid defense. They probably definitely have a better defense than the Giants, but their offense is just, I think Terry McLaurin Yeah, Terry McLaurin is a solid playmaker for them, but other than that, who do we really fear on that offense? Antonio Gibson hasn't been, you know, that impressive, and Brian Robinson is an amazing story. I mean, love to see that, but aside to their solid O-line, like the receiver, their skill position players are average at best, and Sam Howell, he could play well, but I think he's going to struggle at first. This offense is just very, very average. We could see him have his issues, and then Jacoby Brissett come in and maybe win a couple games here and there for them. But their defense, their division is, I think all the teams are better than them. Eagles and Cowboys significantly, and then the Giants just by a little bit. And then they also have to play the AFC East, and the only team I could see them potentially beating would be the Patriots. And even then, it's still Bill Belichick, and they're going to be in New England, so like that's going to be really tough. The only like guaranteed wins I see on their schedule are Arizona, and that's week one. So you never know what could happen week one, because week one is crazy. And I think they'll beat Chicago. But even that, some people don't even think that the Bears are on the come up. So I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take 6 wins. I think they're going to go under 6.5. And while they will be getting rid of Daniel Snyder, I think the same losing ways continue, and they need to really lose. They need to win 4 or 5 games to really get a top five pick, to get a quarterback and just reset, find a guy, reset, and come back to the greatness that they were like back in the 90s, when they were actually winning Super Bowls. Like, people forget this team won like 3 Super Bowls. Like, this was an amazing
With three
franchise.
different
Like,
quarterbacks, the only franchise to
yeah.
do that.
Like they are a respected franchise. They hate the Cowboys. They had beef with the Cowboys. George Allen, the coach, he created like we hate the Cowboys. Like they have real rivalries, and now they're just, they're kind of a doormat recently, and they need to just find that guy to turn it around. So I'm going to take the under for the Commanders win total this year.
Yeah, I would certainly be a fan of pressing the reset button. I don't think teams do that intentionally, though. And Jacoby Brissett's not a reset type of guy. He's not a tank type of guy. So if that's the direction you want to go, and they're not going the right direction. But in terms of, strategically, what would be the best move? I agree with that. You brought up they're playing the AFC East. I didn't know that. East against East. I want to make a prediction right here. Bold prediction right here. The Commanders this year will lose to the Patriots, but beat one of the other teams.
Ooh, that is
Maybe
pretty bold.
two of the other teams.
That's too bold.
And the reason I believe that is because the Commanders don't beat the teams they're supposed to. They beat the teams they're not supposed to, and they're competitive with the teams that they're not supposed to be competitive with. But even if they go 1-3 against that division, I still think they can get 7 wins. It's funny. You and I only agreed on the Eagles so far, so we're
I like
definitely.
that.
I like yes, it's true. Last year we agreed on almost everything. So this year we're going split. It means Vegas is doing their job. If we're able to have two people with different perspectives, sort of seeing it over under, that's a good thing. If everyone's picking over, everyone's picking under, then well, Vegas will make more money. But that means it's not really giving you much to think about. It does give you a lot to think about with this division, and it's going to be intriguing. So I'm excited about that. I didn't know that the East is playing the East though. I didn't look up the schedule before. So that's a good
That's
tidbit.
fun.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. All right, guys. We'll stop it there. That's the NFC East. We have completed now the AFC East and the NFC East, and we'll get to the next divisions next time. Take care, guys.